We've been preaching through the Psalms. We are now in Book 3, at the beginning of Book 3, and we are at Psalm 75. So I'll ask you to stand, and if it's convenient, and I'll read Psalm 75 out loud as we come to the Lord's Word, His holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible Word. Hear God's word, Psalm 75. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, your name, for your name is near. Men declare your wondrous works. When I select an appointed time, it is I who judge with equity. The earth and all who dwell in it melt. It is I who have firmly set its pillars, Selah. I said to the boastful, do not boast, and to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with insolent pride. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. For a cup is in the hand of the Lord, and the wine foams. It is well mixed, and he pours out of this. Surely all the wicked of the earth must drain and drink down its dregs. But as for me, I will declare it forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob, and all the horns of the wicked he will cut off. But the horns of the righteous will be lifted up. Let us pray. Father, we pray that this would become part of us, that we would see the world as described by Psalm 75. And as described by the rest of its context in the Word of Scripture, we pray that you would work in our hearts, that you would receive glory, we would receive instruction, and that we would grow in grace, all for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. An appointed time. That's an important part of what's written here in this psalm. An appointed time. First, let's consider Hannah and her prayer, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and her prayer, and Asaph, the writer of this psalm. Asaph, his word means he gathers. He gathers the psalms together. The Lord makes changes. The Lord intervenes. The Lord's eye is upon the humility of his children who cry to him for help. He listens to his children who cry to him for rescue. The Lord is open to our cry. James says in James 4:6, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Psalm 138 says, for though the Lord is exalted, yet he regards the lowly. But the haughty he knows from afar. He is exalted high, and yet he dwells with us. Jesus came as God, dwelling, tabernacling, camping out, being with us. Indeed, he is transcendent. There are two big words we use. Transcendent, meaning he is on high. There's nothing higher than God. He's above us. He is transcendent. But that's not the only truth in the Bible about him. He is above all creation, above all worlds, but he is also immanent. I know these are two big words, but they're both true all the time. God is transcendent, and God is imminent. He has come. He is here with us. He is right here with us. He hears our cries. And he is just and he is righteous. He is the standard. He changes things at, as Psalm 75 says, the appointed time. In his time. His exact time. If you look at the children's and everybody's children's helper there, you have a stopwatch there. God's timing is perfect. We've just added another clock in our house. I mean, it is an old clock. I don't remember it's ever being running during my childhood. It goes back to the 1800s. And I thought it was just, we had it on the mantle as decoration. But it works now. And it costs less than the worker expected to get it to work. But this means that there's another ding once in a while and another ringing of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And we've got at least two clocks that do that, and they don't do it exactly at the same time. And then there's my watch, and there are other things. And Ruth and I have a different view on how to set certain clocks. And although hers do not make noise. So if I want to get all the clocks to be exactly right, I can't do it. Maybe you could come do it for me, but I can't get it to work. I do know that one clock, until we got it fixed, was exactly right once a day, twice a day. It would be exact, 9:02 exactly, and then 9:02 again. But God is not, his way of doing time, and of course he's above time, and he created time for us, but he is exactly right on time when he answers our prayers. And I have to get used to that, and so do y'all. Hannah wanted a baby. Oh, she wanted a baby in 1 Samuel 1. Our Bible book in which we read Samuel's story is named for the baby God gave her, Samuel. El meaning God, and Samu meaning heard by God. She was heard by God. And she named him because she prayed for this baby, this child, and the Lord answered her prayer. Her name itself, Hannah, means grace. She poured out her heart to God as she dedicated Samuel, this glorious gift of God, to the Lord for his whole life. She prayed in 1 Samuel 2, "My heart exalts the Lord." This is from the first part of 1 Samuel 2. "My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There's no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge." That is, he knows our hearts. "And with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for bread." In other words, the Lord makes changes that we don't think can be made. "But she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and the Lord makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and he raises up." You see how close this is to Psalm 75. "He brings low, he also exalts." And that's not all she says about that. But she ends by saying, "And he will give strength to his king and will exalt the horn of his anointed." Oh, Hannah knew the Lord. Remember, when Eli first saw her, she was praying so diligent, so fervently, that Eli thought she was drunk. And she said, "No, I'm not. No, I'm praying. This is a prayer meeting going on here. By myself, but not by myself, because I'm praying to the Lord who is there." She knew personally that the Lord answered prayers. Do you not know exactly the same thing? And Mary knew the same thing. This is in Luke chapter 1. Beginning in verse 46, although her experience of receiving a son would be very different from Hannah's, but she would be getting a son whose name means he saves. But her prayer is similar to Hannah's. in Luke chapter 1. Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard," Psalm 75, he knows where we are. He has regard, he listens to us, "for the humble state of his bond slave. For behold, but from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and exalted those who were humble." This is the theme of Hannah's prayer, of Mary's prayer, and of Psalm 75. "He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to his servant in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." About pride, C.S. Lewis says, "A proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is above you." Rick Warren of the present generation says, "Pride builds walls between people." This one would be a good one to write down this week. "Pride builds walls between people. Humility builds bridges." Andrew Murray, who was a godly writer, wrote, "Pride must die in you, or nothing in heaven can live in you." Now, about pride, I found something that a man whose boasting, arrogant pride was known worldwide. His name was Adolf Hitler. He said, "Providence has ordained," and he's not talking about providence from the Bible. He was an atheist. He was opposed to biblical Christianity. But he had this concept of providence that was not biblically based at all. But he talked about providence a lot. "Providence has ordained that I should be the greatest liberator of humanity." This is Hitler. Hitler crowed, "I am freeing man from the restraints of an intelligence that has taken charge, from the dirty and degrading self-mortification of a false vision called conscience and morality." He was going to free the world from conscience and morality, and call that liberation. "From the demands of a freedom and an independence which only a few can bear, the Ten Commandments have lost their validity. Conscience is a Jewish invention, a blemish like circumcision." And he ended his life hunkered in a bunker. The Lord brought him down. As our country and our culture contend to live out the philosophy that the Ten Commandments have lost their validity, remember at least one person in past history who ended his life hunkered in a bunker, and who stated that philosophy clearly, that the Ten Commandments have lost their validity. Proverbs 16 says, "The highway of the upright is to depart from pride. He who watches his way preserves his life. Pride goes before destruction," 16:18, "and a haughty spirit before stumbling." Nebuchadnezzar said in Daniel 4, "Is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty?" Immediately, the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled, and he was driven away from mankind and began eating grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Nebuchadnezzar, the boastful, the one who lifted his horn of boastful insolence against Almighty God, then spoke it out such that it could be recorded for us to read today, was brought low. And he learned his lesson, at least to some extent. King Herod, Acts 12, on an appointed day, Herod, having put on his royal apparel, took his seat on the rostrum and began delivering an address to them. The people kept crying out, "The voice of a god and not of a man." And he evidently took that to heart. And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by, can you fill in the blank? Worms. And died. Asaph and Hannah and Mary have a lot in common. And do you not join their company? Do you not confidently put their words in your mouth and sing to God the praise and the thanksgiving that's due his name? And have faith in your heart as Hannah and Mary and Asaph had faith. Asaph begins this psalm with thanksgiving, and he ends it with praise. "We give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks," he says in verse 1, "for your name is near." Your holy name, transcendent name, is imminent, is with us, abides with us. Men declare your wondrous works. And then for praise in Psalm 75, 9 and 10, "But as for me," this is our testimony that we join in, "I will declare it forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. And all the horns of the wicked he will cut off, but the horns of the righteous will be lifted up." Now, the rest of the psalm is divided into two parts. You have that beginning, verse 1, of thanksgiving. I like to mark the places like that in Scripture. So that when it's time to give thanks after the doctors come in and said that all the cancer has been removed, or the surgery was successful, or if it gets to be toward the end of November, I'll mark the thanks with green, and I'll write in green highlighter, TNX, for thanks. "We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near, and men declare your wondrous works." And then at the end, we join in and declare those wondrous works. But between the two, verses 2 through 8, is two sections. God speaks himself in verses 2, 3, 4, and 5. He speaks to us even as if we sang this psalm. He speaks to us. It's the I. You can go through there and mark I. Verse 2, "When I select an appointed time, it is I who judge with equity. The earth and all who dwell in it melt. It is I who have firmly set its pillars." And then we're called on to think about that for a while. "I said to the boastful, 'Do not boast.' I said to the wicked," implied, "'Do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with insolent pride.'" So the Lord tells us he's there, and he hears boasting. He hears people who lift up their horn on high and declare that they are the God and that God is not there. Asaph is concerned, along with Hannah and Mary, and you and me, with how the Lord's timing of judgment seems to be slower than ours. Why doesn't he do something now? That may be part of our prayer. Doesn't he hear me crying out? Doesn't he see what's going on? And yet Proverbs 20:12 says, the hearing eye and the seeing, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them. Surely he sees and he hears. How could he say to Joseph, how could he hear Joseph at the end of Genesis 40, Joseph asked to get out of prison? And at the first verse of Genesis 41, it says, now it happened at the end of 2 full years. How could God hear his prayer as he talks to the surviving servant of Pharaoh and say, get me out of here? And the Lord waited 2 full years. How can he say to Abraham, I give you this land, but you have to wait 400 years. How could he do that? Because he was waiting for the iniquity of the Amorite to be filled up. This is the way he does things. The Amorite was lifting up its horn, his horn against God. And God was going to take them down through a man named Joshua and through that army, but not for 400 years. Mary and Hannah knew the truths of Psalm 75 personally. Do you not? Is it not the story of the Bible? You pray and pray, and the Lord hears and remembers and utilizes every one of your prayers, applying it as it best suits your needs according to his gracious and loving will, and in his time, his appointed time. Oh, but listen to the answer from on high. Hear the Lord of glory speak the issue to our hearts. If you want an affirmation that your prayers are heard and that there is an appointed time at which the Lord will act in righteousness and will reign, then read and soak in verses 2, 3, 4, and 5. Mark the words in your mind. Mark the knots. Do not boast. And then double underline the command. Do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with insolent pride. And then you, in your mind, you could look at those four verses and you could mark the eyes with a rectangle or a square. When I select an appointed time, it is I who judge. It is I who have firmly set the pillars of the earth. I said to the boastful, I said to the wicked, do not lift up your horn. And then Selah, think about this. This is what God says when we pray, Lord, I want to have a baby. I need to have a baby. Send me a baby. And the Lord says, I am in heaven, and I bring down the haughty, and I lift up the lowly. And I hear your prayer, Hannah. I hear your prayer, Mary. I hear your prayer and my prayer. The world is not in any way out of control. Think about it, Selah, he's saying. God is on his throne and God speaks. Think about it, Selah. God lets you in on his calendar. He has clearly marked an appointed time. If you are going to mark anything physically in this psalm, in the way you have it written down there, enclose an appointed time in brackets. Its existence, that appointed time, is a major comfort. A major revelation to our hearts that God will judge evil at his appointed time. He will judge. And then we respond. So he speaks to us in verses 2, 3, 4, and 5, and then we respond in 6 through 8. God speaks from heaven, and we respond with our trust in God's truth and faithfulness in verses 6 through 8. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation. Nowhere horizontally do you get exaltation. It comes from God. But God is the judge. And our testimony is he puts down one and exalts another. And can't you hear Hannah and Mary singing in that? For a cup is in the hand of the Lord and the wine foams. It is well mixed and he pours it out. He pours out of this. Surely all the wicked of the earth must drain and drink down its dregs. He is the judge. The wrath of God is real and foaming, and it is hell. It is hell to drink the wrath of God. The Lord is preparing that wine for you. Unless someone has already approached the table and sat in your place. Unless he has willingly and powerfully and lovingly received the cup that had your name engraved upon it. This wrath of God that will destroy you. This wrath of God that is foaming and mixed and is to be drunk to the dregs. Who sat there and marked out your name and wrote his name, Jesus, Savior of sinners, on the cup in his blood. And he drank it to the dregs for you. Either your name is still on a cup at the table, or Jesus has marked it out, and justice will take place in his death or in your destruction. You thought, everyone thought, ever since the Garden of Eden, that your name was written there indelibly, but he wiped it out. He put his name on it. Stuart Townend writes, "How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch, you and me, his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away, and Jesus drank your cup, if you're in Christ. As wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory." Let's go through the psalm, marking in our minds the things which we are to believe. Psalm 75, 2, "It is I who judge with equity." Judgment. Verse 7, "But God is the judge." Verse 8, "For a cup is in the hand of the Lord and the wine foams. It is well mixed. He pours out of this. Surely all the wicked of the earth must drain and drink down its dregs." God is judge. That's one of the four things we surely need to take away from this psalm. God is judge and will carry out judgment and judge justly, with equity. God judges justly and rightly. He is right. There is no appeal, but there could not possibly be any basis for an appeal. Not the slightest reason for an appeal, because God is judge. He is justice. And then there's that timing. And we need to see what it says about timing. Now timing, God's timing, is both our extreme comfort and our challenge to faith. You can look at both of those time pieces in the bulletin. We know the calendar is marked. We just don't have access to the calendar. But when the time comes, when the last grain of sand drops through the hourglass, time's up. When the bell rings, time's up. God has an appointed time for judgment. Lots of judgments between now and then, such as the death of Hitler. But then there's his final judgment at the end. And Psalm 75 is talking about that as well. You have an appointment with God. He's marked an appointed time. You have an appointment with him. And he will be there. He will not be slow. And he will assure that you will be there too. Down and up. This is so wonderful about this psalm. Down and up. God does not allow challenge to his dominion to go on forever. He gives ample warning, as he gives us ample warning through this scripture and as it's preached today. God speaks from heaven. He warns, "I said to the boastful, do not boast. I said to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. I said to the wicked, do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with insolent pride. Why? Verse 7, because he puts down. And verse 10, all the horns of the wicked he will cut off. There are other illustrations about horns all through Scripture, and I would encourage you to do that Bible study. But this one's important. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Psalm 75 assures us God brings down the horns of pride. But that's not all. Hannah and Mary testified to this final truth, this fourth one. He exalts. He puts down one, verse 7, and he exalts another. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert come exaltation. You don't look to humans. Don't look to the earth to be built up into exaltation. Exaltation only comes from the judge. That's what Psalm 75 says. No horizontal source of exaltation, so do not court it. Don't look to the Assyrians to the east, or to the Philistines to the west, or to Edom and Egypt in the south. Don't look to godless science to the east, to godless politics to the west, or to godless philosophy to the south, or to godless cultural shifts and destruction to the north to seek their approval. Do not do it. Do not court them. Do not ape them. The exaltation you would receive from them by agreeing with them is like standing on the high point of a sword. Don't give up creation according to the word of God in 6 days. Don't give it up. No matter where the pressure's coming from. And it'll come from within the church of Jesus Christ. But don't give it up. Don't succumb to evolution or evolutionary thinking as it is applied to all disciplines. Don't agree to a little bit of lying. Don't agree to a little bit of gambling. Don't agree to a little bit of desecrating the first day of the week, the Sabbath. Don't agree to a little bit of gossiping. Don't agree to a little bit of offensive speech and dirty jokes and off-color humor. Don't agree that a little bit of revenge is okay. It is not. Don't agree that a little bit of abortion is acceptable. It is not. Don't throw away male leadership. Listen to Judge Deborah and agree with her as she informs Barak. Don't give up on the Christian home as it's described in Scripture. Don't give up on marriage between one man and one woman. Mutually exclusive, faithful, monogamous relationship until death intervenes. By the hand of Jesus, the Savior who loves you, takes one of you away to be with him. Don't throw away the church of Jesus Christ. Don't give up on prayer or missions or fellowship or instruction in worship. Don't give up on the Bible. It doesn't make any difference where the pressure is coming in. Horizontally, Psalm 75 says, don't look to them. Look to God and do what he says. And do not give up. For a day of judgment has been appointed. And you're going to be there. And all the wicked will be there. And all the righteous, by God's grace, through faith that he's given us, will be there. The day will come. I don't know when it'll come. Of course I don't. I obviously don't need to know, and you don't need to know either. But mark that in Psalm 75. The judge of all the earth has an appointed time, and he will judge. As for me, I will declare it forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. Join Hannah and Mary and Asaph in giving him praise. Let us pray.